Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, we're very excited. It's day one of our coverage here in Arizona at Surprise Stadium in the press box. And joining us now is the Rangers' new manager, Chris Woodward, right here on 105.3 The Fan. Nice to meet you. Great getting to know you a little bit. And it's awesome that you're joining us on the show.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
You betcha.
It should be a fun year as we'll get to talk to the manager, Chris Woodward, as they just informed me sometimes I take the second W out of your name, so I could have been saying Woodard, so I'll say Woodward. But Wednesdays you'll be joining us during the season. And my first question to you, since I'm a pitcher, a former pitcher, is managers always deal with the hitters a lot, but then managers are different. Some managers, like Lou Piniella, I didn't have, but I mean, he couldn't stand pitchers, hated them, didn't want to ever talk to them. They were just kind of like kickers and punters on a football team. How are you with pitchers, and do you kind of leave that to the responsibility of the pitching coach, or do you like having a similar relationship to the pitchers as the players?
It's funny you bring that up, because I was actually talking with my wife last night about that, and it's something that I believe that relationship has to happen. You know, I need to have communication with especially with like our starters and our relievers, just to, so they understand what I'm thinking and what I'm feeling. Because honestly, the relationship between a hitter, you know, I was a hitter. It shouldn't really factor in, because there have been obviously managers that have been pitchers. But that relationship, when I take the ball from the guy, you know what I mean? Like, I talked to Lance Lynn about it yesterday, and just kind of, you know, we kind of went back and forth, and, you know, the communication has to be there, because you see that breakdown in the trust if you don't communicate with them. And I think it's important that they know what I'm, you know, how my style of managing, how we're going to do this, how we're going to work through this season. And I told him yesterday, I said, there are going to be times where you're going to hate me. Yeah. When I pull that ball from you, but I'll let you understand that that's where we have to maintain that communication, so I can explain to him, you know, my processes and my thoughts. He doesn't have to agree with it, you know, but he has to be respectful. We have to have a mutual respect for the decisions that are made.
So you don't hate pitchers?
Pitchers are going to make us successful.
Okay.
I am a firm believer in that, and I think we have a great offense. We have really talented offensive players, but honestly, like, for this organization moving forward, if our pitching does well, we're going to win. Because of our offense is going to score runs. If we can limit the damage on the other side, and we can actually really excel with some of our arms, we got a chance to be really good. And that's where our success lies, in the pitching.
What's been most exciting, or what's made you the most optimistic so far here in the couple of weeks you've been in Surprise with your pitchers?
I think just with the intent behind, you know, accepting the message that not only myself, but like Julio and Oscar, our pitching coaches, have instilled in the mindset, and working with like the data, the technology, all these things. Some of these, it's new to a lot of guys, and, you know, the way our pitching coaches have broken it down to these guys and helped them understand why this is useful, I think has been really, you know, it's opened my eyes to a lot of things. And, you know, you look at our strength coach and you see how the body works and the body moves, and it's allowing guys to execute better. But also the intent behind, you know, like some of our numbers, we talk about attacking hitters, getting ahead, and we have proof to show them when we get ahead. This spring training is a stark difference between the hitters we've gotten ahead and we haven't. Mm. It's like a 500 OPS versus a 1400 OPS. It's not going to be that drastic during the season, because that's, things will even out. But it's a great message to send to our pitchers now. When we've attacked, we've had a bunch of strikeouts this spring. And that's encouraging, because we were last in the league last year.
I know one of the things that I've heard John Daniels talk about, even before you're here, and other organizations and other managers, is one of the things is, hey, we really don't want certain pitchers facing a lineup a third time through. And so I was wondering this, do you let the guys know early on in the season, the guys like, since you're with the Dodgers last year, a guy like Walker Buehler, he's coming on, and Clayton Kershaw, dude, if you keep getting them out, keep getting them out. We're fine with you facing a lineup a third, fourth, fifth time if you're dealing like you're dealing late in the season. And then do you let other guys know, hey, you're the fifth starter type of guy? As soon as we turn over that lineup, most likely it could be a time where you get disappointed because you think that you're going well, but we know these analytics, these stats say we should turn to our pen with you.
I do think it's important. There's obviously, if I go too far, you know, you obviously start digging into the confidence level of the pitcher. But one thing I've stressed to our starters, I don't want to take you out of the game. I want you to drive through. So if, you know, even if it's Mike Minor or, you know, Drew Smiley, if they're having trouble or they have had trouble in the past, third time around, I'm not afraid. The one thing I'm not afraid to do is address these things, you know, from a statistical standpoint. Like, this is what it's showing me right in my face. Like, I can't ignore this. How are you going to fix that? How are we going to get you through the third time through? And if we don't see the results, then, like you're saying, we might have to take you out of the game at that point. But I want to let our players understand, instead of me just pulling the ball out of their hand, this is why we're pulling the ball out of your hand, if we happen to make that decision. But I think it's important for the pitchers to know. Like, they need to know, you know, not only why they're good, but, like, where their struggles are. Like, where do they struggle the third time around? What pitches are they getting hit on the third time around? How does their stuff play the third time around? You know what I mean? What is it? Like, is it the mix early on that we're exposing too many of your pitches? Like, what may be the issue? So we can address it, so maybe the third time around we can actually have some success.
So we've heard you talking a lot about it's kind of like, I don't want to say Jason Garrett, the Cowboys coach, because he annoys everybody, but but he does use the word process, which makes a lot of sense, because how we're getting to a point is probably more important than the result of a single at bat. But for a lot of guys, if they're younger, it seems like there's a lot of pressure on them from day one, because if you're trying to make the baseball team and you're not having the results, how much different is that from you're working with Joey Gallo and you're talking about whatever you're talking about versus somebody who's really trying to scrape their way onto the team? Is process versus results different for them?
No, it's a tough one, man. For a, you know, for a former player, I knew results were the end result. Like, it mattered. I wasn't going to deny that. I'm not going to ignore that. It is the elephant in the room. Like, you need results to survive at this level. I asked Willie Calhoun the other day. You know, he's lined out like 8 times, and he's hitting whatever he's hitting. I don't even know what his numbers are. But I asked him, I said, what's your average in spring training? Because he was upset that he lined out again. He had a rocket to the second baseman. And he goes, I don't know. He goes, I'm hitting 1-something. I said, you know what's funny? I don't know. And I said, I have other numbers that I might look at that are completely separate of the actual results, whether you get a hit or not. Like, we can dig into some things to know that you're making solid contact. You're making good swing decisions. That's all you can ask for. So when I talk about process, it's more of, let's redefine our idea of success. It's not necessarily, you know, I know what you're saying when the process thing gets thrown around so many times. But, you know, when we redefine what we label as success, when we line out, that's not a failure. You know what I mean? When we hit a ball hard, when we swing at a good pitch, whether we miss it or we foul it off or we hit a line drive, you know, we've done our job for that pitch, and that's where we need to focus on. So what is their plan when they step into the batter's box? What is their plan when they step on the mound? And at the end of the day, it's about competing. You know what I mean? It is about competing. So all this information, all this data, and all this process we're talking about only arms them so when they get on the field, they are fearless competitors. You know what I mean? So I don't want to negate the competitive part, because that's what's going to define us on the team, on the field. You know, the way we run the bases, the way we don't take anything for granted. That's process. Now, we can define it for every specific part of our game, but we are not going to allow anything to go by the wayside. Like, we are not going to ignore any little aspect of the game. Every turn we make, every, you know, thing we do on the bases, like, we are evaluating those things and we are making it important to our players. So that way, at the end of the day, we don't take anything for granted.
It's Chris Woodward, Rangers new skipper, with us here on 105.3 The Fan. So I love all these kind of subjects that you're getting into, and we've heard some great words already from you, from mindfulness to mindset and intention. How much of the job is it the kind of stuff that you would watch on TED Talks or at leadership conventions? How much of the job is about that in these days, Chris?
I think it's important. I think there's a lot of things that we ignore as athletes that really can help our athletes be better suited to compete. You know what I mean? Like, you know, our mental skills, Josiah, he's phenomenal. He's got so much power in his words and his message. Our strength coach, like, there's so many factors that lead to an athlete before they get on the field. Like, we just see, you know, the fans come in, they just see this guy performing. They don't see all the work, and the mind is a powerful thing. So, you know, when you can't measure belief, you know what I mean? And when something, there's a belief happening, and it allows, you know, our minds change in the way we think about the world, the way we think about the game. And that's what I wanted to do when I got here. I wanted to open everybody's minds up to think about the game a little differently, because there's so much available now that there wasn't in the past. You know, and I want our players to look at the world, look at this game and go, okay, this is all for the taking. Like, there's parts of everything that we can take and get better. We can improve not only our minds, but our bodies, you know, and then our competitiveness, you know, our focus, everything can be heightened.
So, sorry to interrupt you there. That was great stuff. But I was going to interject. I think the organization has had that as a priority as well for a while. So when you come to the interview prepared to talk about stuff like that, you know, was that you think the connection that brought you and the decision makers together on this, or and then how much have they, you know, added to what they want you to do from that perspective?
Yeah, they've been really open. I know JD, you know, through the interview process, I was kind of at the same time interviewing them because I didn't know where they stood and, you know, what their philosophies were and, you know, was it going to be difficult to implement some of this stuff? But they had an open mind on everything. And the one thing I stressed was from the beginning was I don't know it all. I know how certain things have been run in the past, and I know how I would like to see them run, but I want to be exposed to more. So I want to make it so every guy has a voice, every person has a voice, so that we can really address things and be problem solvers. I don't like, you know, I was thinking about it the other day. I don't like complaining. I don't like complaining. I don't like making excuses. I like solving problems. And, you know, when our players are inside and that's the mindset that they take, all those, you know, it is in the locker room, and there's all these negative, you know, they're just behind the scenes and negative chatter. That goes away. And then now that chatter turns into like a positive, like, how are we going to get this better? We know this isn't right, but we need to fix this. And then you start getting creative, and now you got a lot of minds that are freed up to think about these things instead of the negative kind of hampering you and getting you focused on the wrong things.
The last time I was in a major league clubhouse was 2008. If I were to go into a major league clubhouse and be a coach or a player, and I haven't been in a clubhouse since 2008, how much would my mind be blown with all the information, data, different ways that the game has changed in 10 years?
Yeah, it's changed a lot.
How long would it take me to get into the rhythm of how it is now?
I think it depends on how open you are to it.
Not
you know,
very. He's not very. No, he's stubborn.
It's something that, like, you know, I look at just throughout my career and my life, you know, I've always tried to, like, really challenge my way of thinking. Okay, so you have your ideas, and, you know, I'm not stubborn. I'm passionate, you know, in my beliefs, but I'm always challenging those. You know what I mean? Always challenging. Is this the right thing to do? Why are we doing this? You know, and then you start, you know, you get a room full of people that believe that. Now you start really making progress, and you start really, like, digging into all the little details. Why do we do it this way? Well, nobody has an answer for it. Well, let's see. And then you can start really defining your things, and you start writing stuff down, and you start really understanding what are your philosophies. You know, and that was really, like, when I started coaching, that really changed my opinion of everything. And then you start digging into the numbers and the analytics, and there's so much data, and it's almost blown up to the point where, you know, the casual fan or the really passionate fan, I guess, who's, you know, old school like me, you know, doesn't like some of the newer thinking. But I look at it as it's a whole new world to take advantage of.
I think as a player, I would have liked it because when you get the general of throw hard in, soft away, slider down and in, I'm like, I'm raising my hand. I'm like, here's the deal, coach. I'm 85-87. Me throwing fastball, like,
it's
belly button
working,
high,
coach.
Doesn't really seem to get guys swinging and missing. So can we get, like, specifically for me, who's a soft-tossing lefty, how can we get somebody out besides the throw hard in and soft away? Because that doesn't seem to work so great for me at times.
Yeah, and I sat in many of those meetings. You know, from a defense standpoint, we had literally our meetings were the entire team sitting in a room and the coach going, okay, they go through the lineup and say, this is how we're pitching this guy. They didn't. I mean, they specified right and left, but it was like basically every righty was throwing a slider and a sinker, and every lefty was throwing a changeup, you know, to a right. There was no specific, you know, it wasn't specific to you. It wasn't specific to anybody. It wasn't even specific to high velo. You know, nowadays, you know, what I saw us do in L.A. was pretty special from the pitching side. You know, so obviously I had a lot of ideas in bringing stuff here, and we have a tremendous group of people here. Brett Hayes, you know, our defensive coordinator, I guess you'd say, you know, he's designing the game plans along with Julio and Oscar, our pitching coaches, along with our analytics team. And we would have a specific plan for every hitter. We'll have a sheet with every hitter for every pitch that you throw and what matches up better, you know, based on their weaknesses and your strengths. And, you know, we know your pitch characteristics. we can slow-mo your release point to see if your changeup and your fastball and your slide are all coming out of the same slot. It's a little off. They'll discuss it. So you can make immediate changes right there instead of going through, you know, 2 months of getting ripped and you're like, why is my slider getting hit? And then 2 months later, the pitching coach comes up to you and says, hey, I think you might want to change your slot. And this is 2 months in, you got a 7 ERA. Whereas now,
it's called being in double A. Yeah, you have 7 ERA, you're exactly. Double A.
And so now we see it in a bullpen and we see it in 3 pitches. And, you know, the analyst guy behind is like, hey, he's coming out of the. Hey, we can fix it right now. Like, it literally takes 20 minutes to go back and look at the data and say, okay, you got to get this thing up a little higher or a little lower.
Well, great conversation, Chris. We really look forward to learning more and talking to you more about the team throughout the year. That was awesome. And thanks for making time for us today. What a busy schedule. 2 games today, right?
2 games today, yeah.
So that was awesome. We appreciate you.
I suppose
we'll be talking to you Wednesdays or one day during the week about these Texas Rangers. Thanks so much and best of luck.
Thank you. Look forward to it, guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.